Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. Hey, it's the 5 on 5. Bravo, bravo. And once again this week, our friends over at the wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair are bringing the 5 and 5 to us. There you will find formerly with the color experience, Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and of course everyone's favorite, extraordinary shampoos. You'll find them in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1, right here in lovely Vero Beach, Florida, or give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
Well, the five things that we're grateful for today, we're going to talk about protection. What do you think? Is that good?
I can't wait.
Okay, so number five, a place to live that keeps me warm or cool, covered and dry, the protection of home.
Yeah.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Well, you know, and the key word there is home because, yeah, you know, one of the things guests in Diane and my home have frequently commented that differentiated from a house to a home.
Yeah, it feels like home. Yeah. Okay, number four, civil servants like police and fire personnel that dedicate their careers to my safety.
Ah.
It's a good one, isn't it?
I do, and I thought right away our teachers who dedicate themselves to teaching our children.
Yeah, and us.
And us.
Yeah. Number three, a comfy blanket on a cold night so I can nestle in and sleep peacefully.
Every night is cold in my house because
you drop the air down?
My Diane cannot sleep if it's above 70 degrees.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah. So you need a cozy nestled blanket.
I'm bundled.
That's good. Number two, the prayers of those who love me, being covered in grace because of their desire to lift me up.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a nice protection, isn't it? You don't really think about it.
Somebody loves me enough to
protect me with grace. Yeah, they pray for me.
Hmm.
Yeah. And number one, a good friend who will tell me the truth even when it's uncomfortable. Their willingness to speak up is protection from getting lost in the unsafe, even if it's just the way I think.
Yeah.
You get that one too, huh?
I believe that we frequently say, you know, have at least one person that you can tell anything to. And frequently that one person will be the one that will be comfortable being honest back with you.
That's right. It's a blessing to have that, you know, it's a blessing. Today we're talking about something that's also a blessing. We're talking about the 12 steps for anyone and everyone. You know, many of us have gone through our lives with, you know, family members that have issues. It's a heavy topic. You know, the reality is a lot of people listening to my voice are in the thick of things that they can't control. They're powerless over it. And that's what we've been talking about. Step one is recognizing that you're powerless over certain things. We admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable, that I can't manage that over which I have no power. And then to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, what's the insanity? The insanity that I can control something over which I have no power. Mm-hmm. And I keep banging my head against the wall trying to do it.
It's going to be different this time.
Whether it's a wayward child or a sugar addiction, you know, a pint of ice cream that gets eaten every night, whether I want to or not.
A spouse that's taking their frustrations out on you.
Right. It can be people at a job where you're not appreciated and you're abused, and yet you keep going back for more. There's so many different ways. So we're talking about these things. And then the third step, make a decision. Make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of some greater power that can help you, that can make the decision, though. Make a decision to look at the rest of these steps and get into some action. So the next step that we're going to talk about, Lee, is the step that, you know, it really lets people know that you're serious.
Well, Beth, just let me interrupt you for one second. Just a very quick practical thing was I've had situations in my life that I found myself powerless over that were making my life unmanageable. And, you know, then I all of a sudden, you know, I asked for help. I asked for help of a power greater than myself. And the next thing, that powerlessness, I had found power. So through the asking for help. So then if that power, whatever that power is,
yeah.
is capable of lifting whatever that obsession, that whatever that challenge was, you know, and restore me to sanity with that, my will and my life, which was told to me was just simply my thoughts and my actions, are certainly better making a decision to put it into the hands of whatever that power that made the impossible possible.
Right.
So.
Like God doing for you what you couldn't do for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's the experience of many people that use these 12 steps as a way of life that you might not get the relief from the obsessive thought, whatever it is you're obsessing over, wanting to control another person's life, wanting to have another drink, you know, wanting to just stay put in a situation that isn't safe for you. Whatever it is that you can't, but you just keep rolling with it. You know, they say that after step five, sometimes it will become real clear that that obsession is gone and that you'll be able to make even more changes in your life. But step four comes before that.
Yes.
And that's you know, taking an inventory. It's made a searching and fearless moral inventory of self. And it's funny. You may be thinking, but it's my daughter that's the problem.
It's your powerlessness over your daughter that's the problem.
Correct. So inventorying yourself, you get to see where have I been lax, or where have I been, you know, pounding my head against a wall when there's no doorway there. There's no way through that wall. And me pounding on it isn't going to make it change. I need to embrace the hallway and look for another door that's open, look for another window that's open. Or as my friend Ruben would say, look up and see the sky. So made a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself. One of the things that it talks about in step four is that all of us were created with instincts to serve a purpose. You know, if you hold my head underwater, it'll be my instinct to fight for air. It's instinctive. I don't just sit there and go, okay, oh, well, I guess this is it. Bye. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight for air. There's other things that we fight for in life, but maybe not the same way. And we call them the three S's.
Yes.
The three things that people need to get handled in their life.
And these instincts were given to us by creation, so they're good.
Yeah, they're good, and they're right, and there's a purpose for them in your life. But when they get overextended in one area or another, they can lead us down paths that aren't safe. Or if it's, you know, like a plus or minus, you know, if you go into the minus part of it, it can be detrimental to your health. So the three S's stand for sex, for security, both financial and emotional, and for a place in society, like how I fit in with other people. And that's what the fourth step is about. It's about having the courage, and that's the principle behind the step, having the courage to look at my life and see, what am I doing to get those needs met that might be kind of out of whack a little bit? What lengths will I go to for sex, security, or my place in society? How low will I limbo to have a good name, for example? I don't want anybody to know the real me, so I'm putting this fake me out there. But now I don't have any real relationships. I don't have anybody I can turn to and tell the truth to. I don't even know why I'm doing this. I'm just in this life that doesn't matter to me anymore. That's a part of powerlessness. And it's a social dilemma. It's part of the society dilemma. Sex, security, society.
And it's when these instincts overextend their intended purpose.
Their God-given purpose, right?
Then they become liabilities.
Right. And that's what the fourth step is about. It's about writing it down and having tangible evidence you want it to change. And from there, you go to the fifth step, which you're going to get your integrity back. because you're gonna admit to God, to yourself, and to another human being the exact nature of your wrongs. You're gonna look at what you wrote down in step four and go, oh my gosh, in my effort to, you know, be in a relationship, I just didn't want to be alone. So I married people I didn't love. I didn't know what love was. I didn't wait to find out. I didn't talk about it. I just said, okay, I do. And now here I am. I have a life that is, we're not working as a partnership. We're not doing what we meant to do, what I thought it was going to be like. It's not like it, but I started it out the wrong way. These are things that these steps can help you see. And when you talk to another person about it and you admit it in front of the, you know, the higher power, source, God, however you understand it, the other person sometimes just has the ability to give you feedback that will help you grow.
Well, my experience too, Beth, is just in the expressing it alone comes great relief.
Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of people feel that the obsessive nature of whatever the compulsion is lifted. So if you're struggling with a wayward child, for example, when you get through this and you actually talk it out with somebody, what you wrote down about what your inventory is, you'll come to know, okay, this is where I stop and they start. And I can't get them to do what I want them to do. And it hurts me, but I have to live with it because I don't get to change it. And me just wanting it to be different and trying all these different things every day isn't making it change.
It hasn't worked yet. And there's another definition of insanity for me to think it has never worked. Why do I think it's going to start working now?
Yeah. And then after that, you become willing. You get this willingness comes out of you. Willingness is the principle behind the sixth step, and you become willing. You become willing. I mean, that's like, wow. I want to look at myself willing to see if this could be changed by God. How does this step read?
The
sixth step. After five. Five is admitted to God, to myself, to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. Six is...
came to believe that a power... Oh my goodness, I'm having a brain thing.
Becoming willing. Becoming willing.
Willing to have... God remove all these defects of character.
Because they are little defects of character. It's where you're falling. It's where you're falling down and you're not able to get up by yourself. And then in step seven, you humbly ask God to remove those shortcomings. And you say, I've been doing this, this, and this to get these needs met. And I've been hurting myself and other people by doing it this way. I want to know a new way to life. Could you remove this from me and let me start again?
A little help here.
Yeah. Give me a little help, God. I need a little help. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to finish talking about the 12 steps for everybody.
And thanks for sticking around, folks.
We've been talking about using the 12 steps to overcome things over which we're powerless. You know, to be powerless is a tough stance. To see something that you want to be better, you hope to make it better, but you can't impact it. It's a tough place to be. We know many of you listening are in that place, maybe with other people you love, and you want to help them make their life better, but you can't make them do what will make that happen. You can even set them up and put them in a place. I teach for OARS, which is Oceanside Addiction Recovery Services. For Beth, I teach a class for the people that are attending that. And sometimes I meet their families, and I see the families of these people that are trying to get a new grip on life because of addiction or alcoholism. And it's hard. It's hard to watch how these parents and children and, you know, how they struggle because they want their loved ones to be okay.
And expand that out, because whatever your powerlessness is, whatever is you are powerless over that is making your life unmanageable, we're back to the pebble in the pond. Because if it's affecting you, it's affecting your loved ones, it's affecting anybody in your pond of life.
And these 12 steps can help you. Yes, they would help the other person, but we're not able to make them do the 12 steps either. That's another place we're powerless. So this is for you. How will they help you? You just humbly admitted to your source and said, hey, God, God, could you remove these shortcomings? I just inventoried myself. I became ready to have God remove these defects of character. And then I humbly asked God to remove the defects of character. What do you do next? What's the next action? I think this is one of the hardest steps, the step 8.
And it's a misunderstood step frequently because it's made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. But it is way more than the list.
Oh, it's so more important than making the list. The list is important.
Yes.
And writing down the names of the people that have been hurt or you have hurt. And the reality is, why is there more? Because you got to look at it. And when you get all these people down in a list, you're going to see how many people have you been, let's say, in a romantic relationship with. And you see 3 names on your list, say. Or maybe you have 300. Right there, the 300 is an issue. You know that you have a little issue there.
But here, we got the P word is coming.
But if you have 3 names, say you have three names on the list, and you have to look and see how did these relationships go? And you, what you're going to come up with is you're going to start to understand that you have patterns. The P word is patterns. Mm-hmm. There's patterns that you, ways that you act when you're in this kind of a relationship. And they might not even be a way that you ever really thought about. It might just be something you started doing and now it just comes into your head and that's how you act. I joke, can I say that on the radio? Would I jokingly say at workshops?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. Well, I'll say it. And if it's wrong, I'm sorry. So I'll apologize before I say it.
But better to ask forgiveness than permission.
That's right. I lovingly say to the women in the rooms at the workshops, you know, it's easy to get a man to take his pants off. But then you put the pants on and you wear them in that relationship for the rest of the relationship. You're wearing the pants in the family kind of thing. That's an issue. But you might not know you've been doing that until you see on a list any romantic relationship that ever was serious to you, that you've done it every time.
And it's okay because at the end of the day, you're just trying to get your needs met. You're just trying to get your needs met.
Yeah, and they're needs that creation gave you for a purpose. Sex isn't right or wrong. It's just sex. Security, financial security. It's not right or wrong. It's just something we all need. We all need material to get through life. We all need money to pay the bills. We need to feed the kids or feed ourselves or feed the cat or whatever it is.
And a place in society, like we always emphasize, we were born by our very nature to connect.
That's what it is. That's what we're saying. So when you're looking at step 8, you're going to kind of unravel all these things. And you start to you get this list and you start to understand, I have these patterns. That's why I did this to people. And you'll start to understand that other people have patterns too. And you'll start to feel love for your brother in a way that you never felt it before. And you'll start to see, oh my gosh, I am part of this thing. I am making mistakes along the way, just like they are. And I might not have gotten addicted to drugs, for example. Say you have a child that's a drug addict. I'm not a drug addict, but I'm not good at this either. You know, I'm not necessarily good at keeping in communication regularly, or I'm not good at saying what my needs are. I've never been able to say what they are. That's all things that will come from writing this list and finding the patterns in your life. Some of the patterns are like dominating, depending upon. They could be, what are some other ones that you know of, Lee, that you think of?
Oh my goodness, one of the things I was thinking before is being a doormat, you know, but always placing my needs second.
Right. These are patterns in relationships that we'll find in step 8. And then in step 9, we're going to get out there and we're going to start to make amends for the things we do. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible.
Except
when to do so would injure them or others. So if it's going to tear you up for me to tell you how I hurt you, I won't tear you up.
I'm not going to buy my peace of mind at your expense.
Right. But I'm going to make direct amends where I can. I'm going to look you in the eye and make it right. And an amend is an important thing. You know, an amend, when the women wanted to vote, they were picketing and everything, and then the men came out on a balcony and said, okay, we hear you. We are so sorry that you don't get to vote. We've thought about it. We understand what you're saying. We're very sorry about it.
Have a good day.
Please accept our apology. And then they go back in. That did not amend the Constitution. an amendment to amend the Constitution is to make it right. And that's the same. Sometimes an amend isn't an apology at all. Sometimes it's like, it's not safe to be with this person. They hurt me. And I don't have to put myself in that place anymore. Sometimes it's doing something else. Maybe it's writing a letter saying, this is where I've flubbed up our relationship and I'm so sorry. But this, all I can offer you now is the knowing that I will do my best from here on out to do a better job.
But it's key that it's your amends to them. Their part is not discussed in it. And that's a challenge, but it's important to follow the process.
Mm-hmm. It's really important. And some of the people won't accept your apology, and that'll be part of it. Then you move on from there. After you finish making these amends, and you have somebody to coach you with that, you're not alone on that. Yeah. You're working with someone, I hope. And then you continue to take personal inventory. And when you're wrong, you promptly admit it. That's step 10. And that's all about knowing yourself more and more. Step 10 is about checking out your day and seeing where you excelled and where you failed. Seeing where you were the one in the car behind the guy who didn't move at the green light and you were cussing at him. You know, is that who you want to be? Is that the person you want to be? Step 10 will give you that opportunity every night to kind of check and self-evaluate. Find out, you know, what's right for you.
But not just beat yourself, because like they say, no inventory is taken just in red ink.
No, you have to see the good and the bad, and you'll be able to see where you're progressing. Step 11 is seeking through prayer and meditation to connect with the higher power. You know, praying only for two things, knowledge of the higher power's will for you and the power to carry that out. So again, you're back to powerlessness. You're saying, okay, now I know that I'm supposed to be this person. Give me the power to carry it out. And you ask for that every day through prayer and meditation. And finally, once you've had an awakening, a spiritual awakening, as the result of these 12 steps, you try to carry that message to other people. And you try to help other people that are suffering the way you were.
And your spirit will awaken.
Oh, it will awaken. And you will be like a different person. We guarantee it. Like Lee said earlier, if you go to our website, www.bethwe.com, it'll say at the top of the menu bar, Better Living. And it's Better Living Through the Steps. There's two things. There's print and video. The video is for anybody, whatever your situation is. Go to the video. And it's just me talking about each one of these 12 steps.
Little less than 5-minute segments.
Yeah, they're pretty small and to the point. The ones that say print, those are people that are really going to be following the 12 steps as taught in Alcoholics Anonymous. So it will be using literature from Alcoholics Anonymous. You'll need those books to follow along with that. You can follow along without the books. You just won't have the teaching that they have, so it won't be as beneficial to you. But we ask you to go to the website, check it out, use these 12 steps.
Contact us, please. We'd be glad to help.
Yeah. And you do not have to be an alcoholic to use the 12 steps that Alcoholics Anonymous gave to the world. They were just the vehicle through which the higher power put these out.
You just have to recognize powerlessness in your life.
Yeah. And let's face it, every one of us is powerless. It's just the state of living for any person.
Comes with the skin suit.
It does come with the skin suit. We thank you so much for listening today. And I know some of you are going, wow, those 12 steps are pretty interesting. Google them. Go on your computer. Look it up. Read them. Study them. Come to know them. Try them. Try to go through all 12 of them once.
And once again, it's Beth at BethWE.com or Lee at BethWE.com. We would love to hear from you.
Contact us. We'd love to help. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.